Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
And welcome to Hagman. It is Hagman Report for today. It's Wednesday, the 25th day of September 2024. A lot of things to get into, folks. Before I get into anything, please do me a favor. Make sure, if you haven't done so already, go to HagmanPI.com and click on the link to the television interview that I did last night with Rob Pugh at Wisconsin Christian News TV. There are two links. If you click on the headline, there are two links there. One is at WCN. That shows you. It gives you an, I mean, it's from WCN, Wisconsin Christian News TV. And the other link is to a Rumble link. So have, you know, you can choose whether you want to watch on Rumble or WCN TV. But let's get those numbers up there and share Wisconsin Christian News with everyone you know, because I'm going to tell you, they're one of the last really free Christian newspapers, true Christian newspapers, Christian news outlets on the planet, or at least in America. They're fighting for their lives, as we all are, in terms of funding. So support them generously. They get the news out there, and there it is. What does that say? We went over some of our investigative findings, and it was a good show. So that's at WCN TV that you're looking at there. And again, it's also available on Rumble. Go to Hagman PI and click the preferred link. Okay, there is that. Now, a couple of other things too. Randy Taylor's joining me today, rt@HagmanPI.com. I'm going to be talking about some spycraft, some things that you need to know, all right? Because to explain the last several years, really the last 10 years, to explain that, you have to understand the undergirding of the last decade. How did we arrive where we're at today, is specifically over the last 10 years. And a lot of it has to do with, I want to choose my words carefully here. Randy Taylor, myself, we've both, and don't throw anything at us, okay? Because this is when we really thought what we were doing was patriotic. We both were operational assets for the FBI, for the Department of Justice, for JTTF, for other organizations, many organizations. I don't know how many people out there. Look, there could be a boatload who have actually worn wires, body wires, into meetings for a specific purpose. But we have, all right, by the FBI, wired up by the FBI. In fact, I do have a story. It's funny. I was hooked up with wires and with a wire, I should say, and they ran along my collar, and I had happened to walk by a window, a department store window. And I looked at my reflection, and I saw the wire hanging out of my collar. As I was going into or on my way to a specific location, I'm thinking, man, this ain't good. So I had to go back and get rewired, you know, the tape and the placement of it. I'll tell you what. But that serves. I'm not saying that for any other reason except this happens. Pretty much. And we're going to be talking about that and how things like that shape what's going on today. And Patrick Byrne, if you know that name, has something to say about this. As a matter of fact, I believe it's one of the most underreported, underdiscussed stories, accounts that can really explain where we are today and why we are where we are today. So we're going to be playing some of his interview. I looked for the best possible interview, and I saw one with Roseanne. Look, you can find this online. The link will be at HagmanPI.com for you. So the entire video, I think it's over an hour long. But how he explains things from 2008 to the present, well, to hit the present in that video, which I believe is now two and a half years old, does get the point across. Okay, so meanwhile, we have a couple of issues. Soros buying up over 200 radio stations. Yeah, okay. And these are conservative radio stations. The purchase being fast-tracked by the FCC. Now, the FCC is composed, their board is composed of, I think, five people. Three Democrats, two Republicans. The two Republicans are Trump appointees. The three Democrats, of course, are not. But the bottom line here is, okay, Soros is now being allowed to purchase this conglomerate of radio stations, conservatives stations. We should think about that as we, in the month preceding, month and a half preceding our election. This man is a traitorous scumbag, along with his Satan spawn son, Alexander, who's married to Huma Abedin. You know, Hillary Clinton's bag woman. Soros also using illegals as well, in part to steal the 2024 election. This man should be labeled a domestic terrorist or terrorist period and dealt with accordingly, in my particular view. And of course, you had Tim Walz attending a fundraiser, well, attending a meeting, essentially for, you know, hands out, give me some money, at the home of Alexander Soros and Huma Abedin in Manhattan, husband and wife. Things are not well in this republic. Things are not well at all. As the FCC allows this to take place, the bigger news is the deconstruction, the shutdown of InfoWars. InfoWars is scheduled to be dismantled and auctioned off piece by piece to satisfy what, a $2 billion judgment. Again, this happens in the days. This is scheduled to happen, I believe, in November, early November, in the days before the election. You think this is a coincidence? No, it's not. And frankly, because Alex Jones is a friend, Owen Schroyer as well, a friend, this pisses me off. And it should piss you off too. Everyone listening to this should be pissed off at this. That entire trial was a sham. That entire trial, the entire forcing him into bankruptcy, a sham. We don't have free speech in this country anymore. Because if we did, Alex Jones would not be facing a $2 billion bill that they'll probably get not even a small percentage of that in the auctioning off of his assets. What this is lawfare on steroids. Folks, you know this. They want to shut us up. And, you know, it's often said, we have the First Amendment, but we also have the Second Amendment to ensure the First Amendment. Well, I'll tell you what, at what point in time is enough enough? Of all the things that when I heard this last night, and I knew this was coming, I knew that. I was praying that it wouldn't happen, but I knew this was coming. Are you kidding me? Let's shut down Rachel Maddow. Let's shut down MSNBC, the propaganda machinery of the communists. It's not even the Democrats. It's the communists. If you have a yard sign for Harris Walz on your property, okay, you're an idiot. If you're voting for Harris Walz, you're an idiot. There it is on the screen. InfoWars to be liquidated and auctioned off to help pay Sandy Hook families. What a bunch of bullshit this is. That's not why they're being shut down. They're being shut down because he has been effective in communicating the truth to the American public. One of the most demonized people in America. And I know him. And I'd like to say I know his heart to the extent possible. Yeah, I'm angry about this, and you should be too. But you know what? There will be ways that this will be fixed. And I guarantee you, to those people cheering this on, you're not going to like how this will be fixed. Randy, before I get to Randy, we're in a position right now where our safety is of paramount importance. And I want to just point you to the satellite phone store, sat123.com, specifically darkbags.com, escapezone.com, whatever you use. You know, make sure you tell them Doug Hagman, the Hagman Report sent you. But, you know, the recent attempted assassination against President Trump, both of them actually, shows the increasing unpredictability of violent incidents in public spaces. These incidents where gunmen were one shot at Trump, one almost dead or maybe dead. We don't know the full story on this, right? Highlights the potential dangers of individuals like us. We face in seemingly secure environments. I'm going to tell you right now, I use, and I never was a backpack kind of guy, always a briefcase or a messenger bag kind of thing. No, not that kind, you know, no, not a purse. But you know what I'm saying, right? But now I've switched to these Escape Zone Shield Faraday ballistic backpacks. I'm telling you, the Faraday aspect of things has helped us out tremendously by hiding our presence where we were not wanted, and gave us some time to maneuver out of areas. And the ballistic part of this too, if needed, will help you. And look, folks, if it's not for you, think of your children or your grandchildren. I can't think of a better gift to give. Hey, a high school student, junior high, whatever, even elementary school, a gift of a backpack that could save their lives. So go to darkbags.com or call them and mention my name. They might even give you a little bit of a break. Call them at 941-231-7530. That's darkbags.com. Randy Taylor, how are you, sir?
Oh, I'm good. I'm hoping that Santa puts one of those under my tree.
Hey, me too. you know, I got to tell you what.
we don't get some funds in here.
I know. I actually had to use
Charlie Brown Christmas, buddy.
I actually had to use some funds I had stowed away for an emergency to actually buy one of those bags for a grandchild. So at any rate, because you know, I'm very concerned about this.
It's a valid concern. Yeah. That's the sad part about it. It's a valid concern.
Well, yeah. Now, I started out by saying that you and I have been involved in spycraft. In real life, okay.
So that's why people have been throwing crap at the front of my house here this morning. I was wondering what was going on.
You know, in our previous lives, okay, we believed in the Justice Department. We believed in justice. We believed that the FBI was, in fact, for the maintenance and even restoration of our republic. And you know, we found, sadly, I remember the day that you called me up and said, I can't do this anymore. I can't tell the good guys from the bad guys. To this day, I remember that. And here we are. And here we are.
What a horrible day, too. That's when my whole belief system changed.
You know, yeah. And we have right now, we've got the situation. And this, just going into this, how we got here, I can trace back to a cabal of people, okay, at the mid-level management or mid-management level. That includes Barack Obama, but hold that thought. There are other people way, way above him as well. Okay, but before I get into that, when Eric the Tech arrived at the studio today, he said something to me, and I'm going to have him repeat it, and I'm going to ask your opinion on this. And folks, I'm going to ask your opinion on this. Okay. We're months, we're 39 days, 40 days. I don't know how many days away from the election we are. Close. We're close. And what did we see recently? We saw the takedown of, what's that idiot's name? Sean P. Diddy.
He did it. Puff Daddy. He did it.
Whoever.
Yeah, Sean Puffy Combs.
All right. We saw that takedown. And one of the first things that Eric the Tech said to me, and I'm going to have him repeat it on air, kind of made me think for a second. Wait a second. Is there something like an October surprise brewing here? A takedown. And this relates to what we're going to be talking about shortly. But Eric the Tech, would you mind just giving that statement?
Step up to the microphone.
Yeah. Come over here. Go ahead.
I have this strange feeling that Trump is somehow going to be tied into this.
Thoughts?
Anything is possible. I don't put anything past these people at all. The desperation, you can smell it.
Oh, yeah.
We really have a bad opponent here, okay? A dangerous opponent, I should say. Because they're desperate, and they plan on cheating. They plan on taking the election through theft, okay? Via theft. But they're also desperate, because there's that small little chance that enough people will show up that even with their cheating, it won't go through. But, yeah, Eric, anything is possible. How can I say not? Like, I couldn't. I don't have a good argument against it.
I mean, for
we're talking about,
we're talking a lot. They try to kill.
We're talking about the globalist plan of the century.
Well, yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Taking down Trump. Absolutely, it could be. I mean, in the world of AI too. I mean, they could put pictures up that are generated. They could probably have films. Yeah, you know what? I don't know. I firmly believe, and I'll say this right now, that Trump has never been to a P. Diddy party. I'm quite sure.
That, right.
I believe that in my heart.
But how many people would fall for that?
Oh, come on. How many hands do you have? You know, yeah. And or it's another huge distraction, and he could be a sacrifice.
It's
just weird
thought.
That when he goes down, you know, then suddenly suddenly we see Oprah Winfrey on TV. You know, I mean, we're going to see a lot of strange shuffling, I believe. I also am very curious on why Hillary Clinton's been so quiet going into an election. I'm serious. When do you hear anything out of her? Nothing. Crickets.
She's been talking about censorship. And the need,
yeah, but not to the, but as far as the election, she really hasn't. There you go. The need for responsibility.
Well, the need for And laugh. I laugh too.
Oh man, that's one woman I'd punch.
I love the meme where her and Soros are morphed together. Go ahead.
I've never hit a woman in my life. I wouldn't. But that one, I'd drop her like hot coffee, boy.
I'll tell you, man.
I can't stand that broad. She is Satan personified. She really is. She's a, if that isn't Satan's minion, I don't have another person to offer to you as Satan's minion. No, George Soros. Let's put him in there.
Well, I don't know. All of the usual suspects. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't understand that whole Soros thing. I really don't. How he's managed to exist all this time. But on with the show.
Yeah. All right. So, Eric, look, man, interesting thought. And I would like, everyone should kind of think about, okay, what's going to drop that is going to serve as a distraction, like you said.
What do you think the turnaround time is on that?
Eric, turnaround time?
Yeah, between now and we'll hear something.
I'd assume within the next couple of weeks.
Next couple of weeks.
Fair enough, sir.
And you know, with these AI deepfakes and stuff, who knows?
Yeah, anything's possible.
Anything's possible.
Anything is possible. And desperation brings out desperate measures.
Now, okay, I didn't overstate or oversell your. I just want to make sure before we move on here. You and I have been involved in operations with the FBI, Department of Justice, and other federal organizations. Not even state organizations.
I've been all over.
Yeah,
I did it one time as a bet.
As a bet.
No, against a drug on a about a drug dealer that they tried for years to bag a drug dealer, and I said I'll walk right in there and buy the drugs, and they were like, "Right, look at you," and I even put on a Hawaiian shirt. Yeah, guy I'd never seen before in his life sold me the dope.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, and I've done some things like that.
It was $100. I won $100.
What?
$100.
It beats the pay you got from the state, right?
Yeah. But on the bet with the detectives.
With the okay.
Long story, but a short story. Well, that was it.
So we've both been in those situations, not necessarily you with drugs in one situation, but
With the feds. With the feds. A whole different story.
That's where they think you're doing something for your country and for patriotism, and they have you sign off on all these papers that you don't get a copy of, by the way, just so you know how this works. They bring you into an office, they sit you down, and you're there voluntarily, of course.
Oh, they came to my home.
They came to you. So you got a house. Well, I got a house visit, but it wasn't a pleasant
one. Do you remember the plastic story?
Yeah, the plastic story, yes. Yeah.
We'll tell that one another time.
Bottom line is RT had plastic on his furniture, on his floor and such, and two FBI agents came to the door, and he invited them in, and they looked at the plastic thinking, hey, you know, are we going to get whacked or what? And
they wouldn't go in the house. Because I'm standing outside, too, and I'm going, come on in. There was three of them, and they're looking around. There's plastic. We had a cat that was peeing everywhere, and my ex-wife had put plastic everywhere. I hadn't seen the plastic. So I'm on the door, and I'm looking to see the plastic, and I was like, come on in, guys. And they were like, they just stood there, no response. And they were like, they weren't going to go in the house.
Oh, man. Well, in my case, I went down to the office, and you know, they put all these papers in front of you. Basically, we have no liability if you get shot by us or by anyone else. You know, too bad, so sad, but we're gonna disavow any knowledge. I mean, it was ridiculous. And oh, can I have a copy of that? No, you can look at it. You know, if you want to come down and look at it someday, go ahead. Can I give it to?
Well, even I'll assign you a number. You're assigned a number. In my case, I had a number, but and I also had a name.
Yeah.
Any time I picked up a payment or something, I had to sign that.
So you got the payment.
I know. Some people get a little cranked off about that, but I was really turning some high value stuff there at a certain point.
Right. Right. Yeah. But the number, you always have a number. You always have a handler, and you hate that word handler, but there's always someone who is responsible for what you do.
Like we're dogs,
Exactly, which doesn't sit well obviously with you or me, but nonetheless. Okay, so folks, I want you to think about that, because so this is a real life example. Now consider this levels above us, okay, where you've got billionaires involved and higher level targets than we were involved with. This brings me to Patrick Byrne. Folks, you might know him as the CEO, former CEO of Overstock.com. You might even know his story. Many people, however, don't know his story. Some doubt his story. I don't doubt his story. I believe it to be true 100%. And he's got the receipts to prove it. He was on, I don't know how long ago this was. I don't remember, but he was on with Roseanne. This is part of a 60-minute video, which will be linked at HagmanPI.com. But RT and folks listening to this and watching this, I would ask you to listen to what he's saying. We'll play this in, a couple-minute segments, because you need to hear the entire story. And it's lengthy. But we'll cut it in, 2.5-minute segments, and then we'll comment on what was said. All right, and then RT, jump in after the after the two and a half minutes are up, and then we'll continue with this. But this will explain, I believe, this is the story that explains where we are today, why we are today, and who's behind where we are today, who the person or people are. He names names here, and this is very important. So go ahead. This is the only video that's going to be in the show notes, the link to this video. This is from Roseanne Barr. Like her, don't like her, I don't care. Burns, I don't care. This is his story. Believe it, don't believe it. Again, I don't care. It rings true to me, and RT, you can comment as well. Go ahead. Play cut.
And they don't want any attention brought to me. So, for example, as I've revealed before, I bribed Hillary Clinton $18 million on January. Well, I caused Hillary Clinton to be offered and take a bribe in mid-July of 2016 by the FBI. The FBI had me facilitate a bribe for Hillary Clinton, which I accomplished. They also told me she had already taken one bribe for $20 million, and I got an $18 million bribe in her face, and she took it. And I've been shown the bank records that show that she took it. So they don't want me any attention being brought to me. That's probably why they omitted my name when they leaked the story. I'll tell you a bombshell.
Why they did not, I know what's in the Durham report, and I'm going to say it here. I bribed Hillary Clinton $18 million. I facilitated a bribe for Hillary Clinton on January 14th, 2016, right here in this town. Hillary Clinton, on behalf of the FBI, they came to me around December 1st, 2015. They told me Hillary Clinton had accepted a bribe from Turkey for $20 million. They told me that I would be working for a group in New York, FBI agents, who had authorization to set Hillary Clinton up in a sting. They asked me to facilitate a bribe for her, an $18 million bribe from another government. The bag man from that other government I was to befriend, and I was to get that person 10 minutes alone in a room with Hillary Clinton. I did. On January 14th, 2016, Hillary Clinton was in this town, and she met in a way that was kept off her schedule. She accepted an $18 million bribe. General Barr knows this. This is the Durham. They know this was what is behind it all. And I'll even tell you, I'm going to drop one more thing. I've been waiting to say this publicly. And this is what really happened. I will tell you, if you hear this and you give me 90 seconds, your viewers will understand what's happened in the last 5 years in America. I've been waiting to say this on mainstream TV, and they will not have me back, because once they understood what this was about. I facilitated a bribe, and she took a second bribe for $18 million. And I worked with the FBI as I did that. They're deeply involved in this. They came to me 3 days later and told me I had to forget about it and forget that it ever happened. And I said, what are you talking about? And they gave me one excuse. They said, Hillary's going to win, and it's been determined, it's been decided upstairs, nothing's going to be able to stop that now. So she's going to win, and she's going to send her people over to the FBI and ask who was part of investigating Hillary, and any of us who were part of it are going to be destroyed, and that includes you too, Patrick. And so this mission has been scrubbed from the highest level. And I thought about that, and I said, yes, sir, and I came, but two or three weeks later, I was back with three federal agents this time. Three federal agents, and I let them know that wasn't sitting, and this is in Salt Lake City, Utah, and that wasn't sitting well with me, and I'd like to know why. We had almost a year before the election. They could have had me and another person in front of a grand jury in a week and gotten her indicted, and they told me, and this is the key to understanding what's happened in America. They told me, this is word for word, Patrick, what's really going on is this. President Obama has his people across the federal bureaucracy at this point, but especially the Department of Justice. Hillary Clinton is going to be president for 8 years, and nothing's going to change that. But think of there being a Bunsen burner within the Department of Justice. That evidence about the two bribes you were part of gathering is going to be sitting on the Bunsen burner. And the hand on the Bunsen burner is going to be one of Barack Obama's people. If Hillary's a good girl and defends Obamacare, that flame stays low. If she's a bad girl and thinks for herself, it's going to get turned up high. That way, Barack Obama is going to manage Hillary Clinton for the 8 years she's president. And then she's going to step down and Michelle's going to run. And Patrick, that's the plan.
Okay, cut that. Cut that. RT, a ring of truth to that?
Yeah. I can see it.
Yeah. I'm
surprised they gave him that much information.
Well, okay.
When they burned the op, but yeah.
I went over this a couple of times, and I was thinking about this, and here's my thought on this. He was part of the 2008. The economic theft from America in 2008. When I say part of it, he was attempting to expose what was going on in 2008. If you remember that, folks, with Wall Street and the SEC and all of that, the mortgage crisis.
I remember that quite well.
Okay, so he, in addition to that, he also worked with the FBI prior to that in the. There was a federal case of a friend who was apparently murdered. He gets into that in a book that he wrote. But again, he had prior experience. So if you take what you and I did, if you can put him up on the... Can you do that? Put him up? Put him... So we're on the... So I feel like I'm talking to him. There you go. I feel like I want to talk to you.
Okay. I'm not in grayscale this week.
No, you're actually in. and folks, by the way, we do have some really exciting news coming up in the next couple of weeks. Again, if you'll stand behind us, because we need to have our voices amplified. But I mean, given your experiences with the FBI, you can see this taking place, because there were times, I believe, at least in my case, and I'm going to ask you, I don't think we ever had this discussion, there were times when we had to get or be given more information to accomplish what they wanted us to accomplish.
I'll concur with that, yeah.
Okay.
And it also depends who you're working with in the FBI. If they like you, they confide in you. Because often they don't have anybody to confide in. They don't have anybody to talk to.
Right. And you're bound by legal. I mean, you can't say a word.
Yeah, you're signing a stack of paperwork. And
yeah, you can't even talk to your wife about it.
Right. Even today, I mean, we're talking about stuff, but there's a lot. The things that would get us in trouble, we're not going to say.
No.
There's paperwork. There's a paperwork trail.
Yeah.
I got no problem with them.
we're not going to give specifics, okay?
This isn't the FBI of old. You know, when you were a kid that you wanted to grow up and be an FBI agent. It's not that FBI today. These guys are scumbags.
So what Byrne was saying essentially is the FBI, he was working with the FBI to set up Hillary Clinton on an $18 million bribe, which was successful, by the way. And but there was a $20 million bribe before that. But moving along here, what I thought was interesting was how they would control her through the bribe, and of course using the Bunsen burner as an example. And he also mentioned Obamacare, which really took over 25% of our economy. So there's that and other things. But one thing that didn't come to pass was her 8 years as president and then a Michelle Obama presidency after that. So that did not come to pass. So just saying. Okay. Now, if you can advance this to 9:35 and pick up at the Roseanne there's a news clip and then there's a Roseanne interview. But I think this will explain this a little bit deeper so people understand. And folks, please pay attention to this because a lot of nuggets in here. And then RT comment afterwards. Go ahead.
So obviously you stepped away from your company, you say, for the good of the company and the good of the country. You say that you got tangled up in the deep state investigation into President Trump. Tell me, how did all of this start?
Let me give you the bottom line up front. So listen, I'm a hippie. I have nothing to do with the feds. I'm a flag-waving hippie. Twice in my life I had the honor of helping them. A friend of mine named Brian Williams was murdered. 17 years ago, I helped them bring the murder to justice, and I helped them fight Wall Street about 12 years ago. I was kind of a one-man Occupy Wall Street in 05, 06. The Fed showed up, and it was my honor to help them take down a couple hundred people on Wall Street. So that's that. Let me jump to the bottom line, and this I've learned is the quickest way to explain it. In 2015, 2016, they got back in touch with me for the third time, and it was... I was given some fishy orders and I carried them out thinking in 2015, 2016, thinking I was conducting law enforcement. Let me emphasize.
Well, I know Patrick Byrne. I've known him for years and I spent 45 minutes with him on the phone today talking about it. When he indicates that he has previously worked with the FBI and provided information, he's telling the truth. Yeah, back in 2005 and 2006, I was chief counsel at the Senate Judiciary Committee, and he brought to us inside information about manipulation that was going on in Wall Street. It turned out that it was accurate, and it was investigated, and it became part of a much larger investigation. So my experience with him is very fascinating, because while he's eccentric, he's been accurate historically with me and with others.
Wow, so Brett Tolman is absolutely unequivocal about this. Patrick Byrne was telling the truth about his connections with the FBI in the past.
The men in black, as I call them, showed up and asked for this third favor. Anyway, I'm not going to go into the details right now, but I didn't know who sent the orders, but I did them. They seemed fishy last summer watching television. And here's the punchline. Here's the punchline, people. Last summer watching television and some congressional hearings, I figured out where those orders came from. They gave them a guy named Peter Strzok. And Bill Priestap, Carlin, McCabe, Comey. That was who sent the orders.
And well, you're naming a bunch of FBI people there.
Well, the Peter Strzok, and it has been confirmed to me that my instructions came from Peter Strzok, that the people who carried me orders were coming at the taking it on behalf. That's been confirmed.
You had helped the government a couple of times. They reached out to you. What did they ask you to do?
I don't want to go into the nitty gritty right now. The nitty gritty, I can tell you the main event, and I feel terrible. I've been watching for 3 years, and our country's coming apart, and people are killing each other. And I finally went to see Buffett. And Buffett's kind of my rabbi, I call him. And he said, Patrick, you have to come forward. And I said, you know, it's going to make some feds furious at me. Their heads are going to explode. And he said, you let feds do their job. You're a citizen. You got your job. You're coming to the public. Here's what it is. This was all political espionage conducted against Hillary Clinton, Rubio, Cruz, and Trump. This is not a theory of mine, some political theory. I was in the room when it happened, in a way. I mean, not in a way. I was part of it. I didn't know. I knew I had some of the pieces. I thought I had the pieces of something much bigger. Last summer, as stuff bubbled into the news, thanks to good journalists such as yourself, I started realizing I had these very important missing pieces. I actually started coming, trying to help then, but I had to wait until there was a return to rule of law in our country. And I've lived in places where there, and that took waiting until Bill Barr got installed. And then I don't know the guy, I never shaken his hand or anything, but only then did I trust things enough. And I went to the Department of Justice and started
explaining.
And you told
them what you knew. You know, it's my understanding that you know, I should just point this out because some people might be listening and saying, you know, well, how credible is this? And you know, we did some asking around, and you know, we have basically had the indications that, you know, that there's every reason to believe that your story is indeed credible. So
I'm not in the convincing business.
But let me go back to the basics, because this is what everybody's saying at home. This is what everyone's saying at home. What did they tell you to do? What did they ask you to do, Patrick?
Some of it involved this young lady, Maria Butina, who came here. So some of it involved her.
Okay.
Some of it involves setting up Hillary Clinton for what looked like law enforcement, but was actually setting her up to be blackmailed. I helped set up Hillary Clinton to be blackmailed.
What was the nature of the blackmail?
Can't go into it. And so I'm sure there's a bunch of people in Washington who are going to rip me apart. And I've actually been warned. I was warned last October from a friendly person, Patrick, if you come forward, this entire town of Washington is going to destroy you. It's going to turn you into dust.
And, you know, I give you a lot of credit because I know that you said that you did some soul searching over the summer and you talked to good friends, and you mentioned one of them a moment ago. What was the nature of your relationship with Maria Butina? Did she reach out to you or did you reach out to her? And how involved were you? Did you have an affair with her for 3 years, or what was the nature of your relationship?
Have you seen the video? I bet you've played it, where candidate Trump is at a conference and this young girl stands up and asks her a question.
Sure.
They were setting this up. The thing that's important to know is the Russia hoax wasn't technically really about Donald Trump. It was set up on the Republican Party, and it was
No matter who was the nominee.
Okay,
was
pause it right there. There was a whole slew of information, RT, that was given there. This was an operation. The point man on this was Peter Strzok, who plays played an important role in the Russia hoax, in the FISA abuse, and of course the paramour of Lisa Page.
And Lisa Page, yeah.
Right. Okay. But he named not just Hillary Clinton, but Donald Trump, Rubio, and Cruz as the targets of this operation. I'm going to turn you loose here, but you and I have been given names of targets, and I remember feeling I'll do what I'll do this. Again, this is minor league compared to that. But nonetheless, the template is...
It's not so much that it's minor league, it's that it's just a different level. Operate at a different level. Because, if you walked in the room and offered Hillary Clinton a bribe, who are you? Who am I? That's all it is. It's who you know.
Right.
They'll grab somebody that knows the person they're after.
Right, right, exactly.
Yeah, just different circles, brother.
But the issue here is when he was speaking. Now, you have to understand, folks, these are different times within the last 10 years he's talking about this. So you have to kind of think, okay, that one part was, 10, 12 years after 08, so it'd be in the 20 range, the 2020 range. A lot of things have happened after that. Go ahead.
And the thing that, remember, that Peter Strzok and Lisa Page got hung out about, what they were hung out to dry on, was, if you guys remember, the insurance policy.
Yeah.
This is our insurance policy.
Yes.
That, you know what I mean? That right there was the crux of that old deal. They were putting together their insurance policy.
Exactly.
That's all these assholes operate behind the scenes. And that's what I called them.
Yeah, and I have no problem with that. because
they disgust me. They just disgust me.
To think that, and what just to be sure people understand what they were doing, were they were taking orders by way of Strzok and by way of he mentioned McCabe and Carlin and some others. All these people were involved in Russiagate. All these people were involved in setting up the FISA abuses against President Trump. So regardless of who won or whatever, they were able to control both sides of the spectrum. That's what really is important to me here. So when it was clear that Trump was going, they turned up the heat.
And on the other side of the coin, you got Hillary Clinton with the Steele dossier. Think about this convergence of all this stuff at once. Just go back and think about that alone. That's mind-boggling.
And also apply this to where we are today with respect to who's taking over the investigations of the attempted assassinations of President Trump. It's the FBI. Well, they're still in the very people, not Page or not Strzok, but or Comey, but the very same mindset people are in positions of power, right?
Yep.
Okay. All right.
Don't you feel safe now? Aren't you going to sleep good tonight?
Oh, wait. It gets worse.
Oh, yeah.
It gets worse. We'll play one more. We'll play some more here because this, to me, I think is really critical for people to understand, again, how we are here, why we are here, and even more importantly, what we need to do to fix this, especially if President Trump gets in office. Because if he gets in office and doesn't clean house, then screw it. You know what?
All it's for naught.
Exactly.
If he doesn't do it. I mean, from day one. I mean, he needs to hit the ground run.
Yeah, and I think that was his mistake last time, along with some pretty crappy picks of, attorneys and advisors and such. So,
His inner circle. That's what destroyed him, his inner circle.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, there's a saying in with the mafia. If they're going to kill you, they're going to send a friend to do it.
Oh, take you to dinner.
Yeah. And that's the same way with politics. And I've found, too, in my own personal experience with the FBI, that's very true. That's very true. But anyway, okay, let's play some more. And are you okay with this, playing this and commenting on this? You okay with it?
Oh, well, it's fine with me. I have nothing. You know, well, we've talked about this before and in bits and pieces. I have no problem. I made a mistake, but at the time, it was a necessary mistake because I was protecting the country. Okay, it just turned out that the people that I was working with and Doug were working with and that we had worked with in the past, they've gone black.
Oh,
they have. It isn't us. And at the time, we were doing the honorable thing. Nobody's ever going to come back at me and say, because you hunted down al-Qaeda suspects and helped have them tracked, killed, and arrested, that you were a bad guy. No, you don't tell me that. Dude, screw you. What's important is that I never, ever, ever have ever talked with the FBI ever about an American. You know what I mean? But I'm saying in a being used against the public.
Okay, that's
in a bad way. Right. You understand what you have to understand what I'm saying? Okay, I was primarily after terrorists.
Correct.
Okay, that was my forte. That's what I was really good at. Well, the top in the country, and that's why. But then you know when you're dealing with people like this too, You gotta be smart. They record you. You record them.
I have recordings, of course.
Yeah. I mean, there's things that will never see the light of day as long as nobody wants to come and screw with me. Then that's just how it is. I don't know how to say it. There it is.
I learned from the best, right?
If I suddenly was suicidal, these would probably get dumped in Doug's lap.
And vice versa, because,
land right in his lap.
Yeah. And that's the really, those are the stakes. I mean, I, again, I don't want to oversell this or overstate it, but man.
Yeah. And I won't say I wasn't against Americans. That was the wrong terminology. I wasn't played any part of any kind of political game.
Okay, that makes yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. That was going to decide power in American politics,
right? And in my case, when I said I have, I was going against criminals with
right. So what we did, what Doug and I have done, is honorable. People say, "Oh, somebody accused us something one day about this January 6th and being FBI assets." Go screw yourself. Okay? Go screw yourself.
Yeah.
Absolutely not. Not even in the ballpark. And I remember getting really offended about that. I flipped my lid over that.
And they're not never, done with that.
No, and we've never, ever got involved in American politics in any way, shape, or form, or any of this stuff that, like, Patrick's talking about. We've
No. But his story explains a lot.
Oh, my God, yes. His is at such a dangerous level, too, because the trail of bodies around Hillary Clinton is not even funny.
Oh,
well, this is what I don't understand.
Wait until you hear this.
Keep going.
Yeah, okay.
What I don't understand is why we haven't done something about it. Why are millions and millions of people let one person, somebody that we wouldn't miss, get away with this shit?
Well,
you know what? We got an election coming. We're in trouble.
Yeah, you got Soros. You got Clinton.
Yeah,
you got
all the. I was worried about that little long-legged pimp daddy Obama. There's your problem right there. There's your problem. There's the problem, Doug. The problem.
All right, folks. Now listen to this next segment here. Again, this is important. This is an interview with Roseanne. Again, I don't know when this was done. This is part of a larger clip, Hagman PI. You can go directly to the source. Whoever the source is, thank you. And all credit goes to you for putting this together. Okay, so go ahead and continue from where you left off. And folks, pay attention to this next part, really. Wow. Go ahead.
Exactly. It was a coup. And in the middle, it was the beginnings of a coup on the Republican Party. And in the middle of that, they started the coup on the Democrat Party. And that's what you first asked me about, the Hillary side of things. You want to talk about that?
Yeah.
They were aware of a foreign government that wanted to bribe her, Azerbaijan. I reveal it in the book. And they taught me, the FBI agents taught me about a sting and the legal theory of stings and how they work, how Hillary had tripped it, and now Comey had authorized. Well, this is the key part. That Comey, and my book explains, like, word for word, and how the exact speech they gave me and how they asked me to do this. But at the end of this, they asked me that the folks in New York, the squad in New York, are asking your help. Comey has authorized a sting on Hillary, and they want you to get her to in the position to accept this bribe. He wanted me to bribe her. And I said, when they asked me, I said, gentlemen, this is pretty, I've done everything for Uncle Sam's on a handshake, but you're asking me to get involved in a presidential, in a federal election and bribe a presidential candidate. I'm going to need something on a piece of paper for this. And they said, let's go back to the office. They came back 2 or 3 days later and they said, we've been told to tell you, we can't give you a piece of paper. Now this word for word, we can't give you a piece of paper, but the director says, if you'll go to Washington, D.C., you can be shown a piece of paper. And I said, oh, this is coming from the director. And two federal agents leaned into me and said, and I said, oh, this is coming all the way from the president. And two federal agents leaned in and said, and I said, well, gentlemen, you can tell Director Comey and President Obama that from them is good enough for me. Consider Hillary bribe. What do you need? And they told me, Patrick, you got to find the somewhere in the world, there's going to be a room in the next 2 months. You're to bring about this state of affairs. Somewhere in the world, there's going to be a room. We don't care where. And Hillary Clinton's going to walk into that room, and the bag man from Azerbaijan is going to walk into that room, and I'm going to spend 10 minutes alone together in that room. You pull that out and you make that happen any way you want. And I said, okay, now you understand I'm going to be bribing people and stuff. And they said, yes. And I'm not going to tell you how one does something like goes to a country like Azerbaijan and shows them you're the type of guy who can and will do things like this and finds their bag man and works this out. We'll leave that part of the story for another day.
Okay. All right.
But what's key to know is on January 14th, 2016, in a hotel room in Washington, Hillary Clinton met with and accepted a bribe from the bag man from Azerbaijan. I can tell you just how it was done. Shall I walk you through how it was done that morning?
Yeah.
She was quite interesting. She was on the, like, I think it was the eighth floor, and her assistant was on the fifth floor. And by prior arrangement with her, how this was done was her limousine was supposed to leave at 9 a.m. The bag man was brought in at 8:30, taken up to the fifth floor, and went into her assistant's room. At 8:47, she leaves her hotel room on the eighth floor, leaves it a little bit early than you would for a 9 a.m. limousine, but leaves it, goes down, hops off the elevator on the fifth floor, and goes down and into her assistant's room, and the assistant steps outside the door. So now Hillary Clinton's alone with that bag man for 10 minutes. She came out, comes in, gets in the elevator down, gets in her limousine and leaves at 9:01, 9:02. It's not in her schedule, but it happened the morning of January 14th, 2016 in a hotel room in Washington. And so there's the end of, this story really has four segments to it.
What came from it? What was the money for? What did it buy? Did it just go to the Clinton Foundation?
No, it was a direct deposit to a numbered account in Azerbaijan. And why don't I organize, so this just doesn't turn into a kaleidoscope. Why don't I organize this, what I'm telling you? There's really four chapters to what I'm telling you tonight, Roseanne.
Okay.
And the first chapter is that setup of the Russian collusion hoax. Middle of that, setting that up. And that was for...
But that was just a practice to get fake FISAs.
That was to get fake FISAs on the Republicans. That was to get it so whoever came to power in the Republican Party had FISAs on. They had contacts with a Russian girl on. They had pictures of one, they had movies of her standing up and asking one candidate a bunch of questions. They had her, going out to dinner with other Republicans. So they were letting her smudge up the Republican Party in a way they normally would never let happen.
All right. He goes on and he describes the person behind this giving the order, of course, was Obama to Comey at the time, and then through the chain. Again, you heard it before, and we're not going to play any more of this, but you can watch the entirety of this, because this will show you where or how we got here and who still to this day is pulling the strings. And one person that we have to really put into the epicenter is Barack Hussein Obama. And regardless, look, there are people above him, but he's one. Go ahead, RT. What do you think? I mean, what do you think of that?
Yeah, he must be a changed man and a flip, because I would have never, ever done anything for Barack Hussein Obama. A nod, I flip him back to bird. I had no use for that man or Comey. You know what I'm saying? So
at the end of that, he was told to forget everything that he did under threat of death, and that threat of death came from Obama. I'm telling you, that's what he said, and you can watch it for yourself.
Oh yeah, so, like I said, I wouldn't have gotten in bed in the first place on that one. But we were talking about earlier what we would do and what we wouldn't do.
Right.
This is a circle I would have never been in, even if I was rich. My point being, we worked with the FBI when they were good guys. That's my point.
I, you know, is there anything that you have to add to that? I mean, do you think that, that the people listening to this broadcast got enough of what, do you think they understand now where we're at, why we're where we're at?
Probably. What it's showing you is it's illustrating how our government has been working against us. You know, everybody thinks we go to the poll and we elect. Remember, for years you used to joke, the president's appointed. Well kind of turns out that,
yeah,
that's what's been going on. Yeah.
Well, he also.
And the part that scares you is how far back does that go? I mean, we've talked back about with Bush and Gore. And then when we're Bush and that other idiot, Swiftboat Boy.
Kerry.
Who's him? John Kerry. You know, we know that these elections in both of those cases, Senior, I mean, that's my theory. George Senior, you know, contacted Al Gore, bought him off, said, I'll make you rich beyond your wildest dreams. The next thing you know, he's some climate czar with more money than he knows what to do with. And then 4 years later, John Kerry, you know, balls to the walls going into the second debate. And then when he comes in for the third debate, it's like somebody beat his ass and sent him home. He lost all his fizz. And then he got beat. And that right there told you that Bush Sr. got to him. And then who does he turn out to go? He ends up with a job as climate czar, making hundreds of millions of dollars. And you know what I'm saying? These people are unbelievable. And that's why when they cheated in the election, see, Trump came out as a surprise. He did. They caught him off guard. They thought Hillary had that in the bag. And Trump managed to beat her. And then they said, that's not going to happen again. So when they cheated hard. And it's disgusting, you know, and we're going into, ladies and gentlemen, we're going into this again. And I'd be honest with you, I am so very concerned about what's coming. Okay, I really am. What they're going to pull, they're actually trying to get into World War III before the election. I don't know if they want to put us on martial law, lock us down. I don't know. I don't know what's coming. These people are, you know what it is? They're like fanatics. They're crazy for this power and to sink the U.S. They're taking us out. Listen, you guys got to be ready to go. The people out here, you know who you are and who I'm talking to, you got to be ready to go because the shit's going to hit the fan.
It is.
It's been all talk for the last 7 or 8 years. The Republic is going to fall if this isn't done. Ladies and gentlemen, be ready to roll.
I want to toss in one more element.
That's not by controlled doggery or anything.
No.
I'm just telling you, as a human being, as a God-fearing Christian, as a patriot, be ready to roll. It's coming at you full force, which you thought you'd never see in this country.
Well, yeah, and here we are again when started this show out. You've got Soros being fast-tracked by the FCC to go ahead and take over 220, I think, is the bottom line number of radio stations.
How can that, can't that be fought in court or something?
Yes, you can call the, well, can it be fought in court? You can call the FCC and raise a stink.
Something, because, I mean, there's, and be honest with you, I mean, we don't have time for that right now.
Well,
somebody needs to. Somebody needs to get on that. That is a serious, serious, serious problem.
But,
that should never be.
Compare and contrast that with Bannon being in prison right now. Again, mm-hmm. not going to be let out until right before the election. He's been silenced. You have InfoWars being silenced. You've got a number of other conservatives about ready to be silenced. And I'll tell you what, it's no picnic here, but go on.
Yeah. No, and Doug's right. They're strangling us. All right. Alex is resourceful, and there's people that will provide the way, I'm sure. But yeah, they're silencing it. And then we just said, a lot of your key players are like, well, he's locked up. The voices, you know, I was really happy to see that thing with Tucker Carlson and Jack Mosobiec and Alex Jones. I liked seeing that together. In fact, how long have we been saying that? Some key people need to get together. But that needs to be a bigger consortium, and we're like out of time. And then we have to know when we have that consortium, what are we going to do? We need some leadership here, some serious leadership. We're going to have to go out of bounds here, folks. I guess that's what I'm trying to say. You know, you have your normal elections and the way things work in America and all that. And I hate to say it, but it's failing. It's failing right now. This is a disaster. We're losing the republic, the greatest gift God could have given us. The gift our forefathers, they bled for this. They lost everything for this. And we don't even want to miss a football game for it. Are you shitting me? Are you kidding me? Think of the prices that have been paid. Think of every man that's died on a battlefield somewhere in some jungle somewhere. You know what I mean? Stop and think about beaches, you know, being crashed at Normandy. Just think about the price that's been paid so we could sit here and even have a show like this. That you could sit in the comfort of your home like that, where you're at right now. And even if you're up against hard times and all, you know what? It could be so much worse. And worse is coming. But listen, damn it, we've got to get this country cleaned up. We are out of time. All right, so wait for the election. That's cool. But I'll tell you what, if we walk right into the same thing we did in 2020 with all this lying and cheating at the polls, I'll tell you what, at that point, I say all bets are off. If we have an actual true election in this country, Donald Trump will win because people love this country. This filth that get on TV, these lefties, and call themselves a patriot. You cannot be a patriot and be a Democrat. It's impossible. And don't tell me, well, I'm a Christian Democrat. I'll drop you where you stand. You're a liar. Yeah, this is so out of hand, ladies and gentlemen. And I don't even, and I got to be really careful here so I don't get my ass thrown in jail. Okay?
I think we all have to.
You need to get ready. You know what? When you plan for a hurricane, okay? You know those preparations you make? If not, look them up online. I used to live in Florida. I know how to plan for a hurricane, okay? We'll take hurricane times two, okay, and put a rifle in it.
Very well stated.
Because the looters are coming. They're going to loot the republic.
And
are you going to let them? Are you going to let them? I'm not.
Nor am I.
I've already talked to my family. You know what? No.
That's a problem I think
somebody,
we have.
Somebody just... And I'm a cripple. You know what? You tell me where to be.
You'll drag yourself there. I know.
You just tell me where to be, and I'll have my friend bring me. And damn it, I'll hold a line. I might not advance too far as I walk slow, but damn it, I'll hold a line.
And this is what we all have to do, I think. I think we should be prepared for a potential theft. We have to make it too big to rig, but you know, a vast number of evangelical Christians don't vote. What the hell is wrong with you? is my question. You better get out there and vote this time, because I'll tell you what's waiting for us on the other side. And it's stuff like this. This is a link, Hillary Clinton talking about what the disposition will be of people like you and I. And if you're listening or watching to this show, what they're going to do to all of us. This is the Hillary link I sent, if you can hit that.
Sadly, so many of those extremists, those MAGA extremists, take their marching orders from Donald Trump, who has no credibility left by any measure. He's only in it for himself. He's now defending himself in civil actions and criminal actions. And when do they break with him? You know, because at some point, you know, maybe there needs to be a formal deprogramming of the cult members, but something needs to happen.
What the hell? Did you hear what she said?
I heard what she said, Doug. She's done. Okay. Because I'll tell you what, when the shit hits the fan, this everything's getting cleaned up. Everything's getting cleaned up. We either, ladies and gentlemen, we either take it with ballots or
bullets.
It's funny. I didn't say that.
I did. It's ballots or bullets. I mean,
ballots or bullets. Yeah. He's absolutely right. And the ballots have been failing up to this point. So all the people that took for granted that Donald Trump was going to win last time, better get your lazy asses up and get out and vote. Okay? Because your next step is you're going to have to walk away from your family and you're going to have to do something about it. So men, you need to sit down and talk with your families.
Yeah.
And I mean that. I mean that. Because hard times are coming. Hard decisions are going to have to be made in the next 40 days. Men, I'm talking to you. And don't get, I don't want emails going, oh, I'm 76 years old. I don't give a damn. I'm no spring chicken. And I can't hardly walk. Doug will tell you that. But if there's a job to be done, Doug knows I worked with him this last month in the field. You know, it wasn't work. I volunteered with him this last month. So, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm on disability. But anyway, I'll get out and do what I have to do. My ass don't just sit in the truck. You know what I mean? It hurts like hell. And it takes me a week to recover. But you know what? I'll do anything for this country. I'll do anything for this country. And that garbage like that, that is not what our forefathers thought America was going to be, what Doug just played, that piece of shit, Hillary Clinton. Okay? The woman that can't handle memes against her. Okay? Is one of the most corrupt individuals. As I recall, the Russia that everybody wants to go to war with, she sold a ton of our plutonium to. Do I recall that correctly? Uranium One.
Yes.
Yeah, in Toronto, through Toronto, and you know, kind of off the books, not really advertised. You know, that woman is a traitor. That woman is still tied in and probably getting paid from smuggling children out of Haiti to perverts all over the world.
Absolutely.
And don't think I'm just making that up, okay?
No, you're 100%
right. We have good intel on that, okay? It's just we don't have a government we can go to and do anything about it. I could have all the intel in the world, go sit on somebody's desk. Chances are they're going to report it to her, and somebody's going to put a bullet in my head before I get home.
The U.S. government has lost... And I say lost, I don't mean lost, I mean reallocated some 300,000 minor children. I'm talking about below the age of 12 in this country. That's a fact. That's a fact. So they've been trafficked.
I am so disgusted, Doug. Who right now can sit down Sunday and watch a football game or a baseball game?
Huh? The people that, and sadly, there's too many of those people. I haven't watched a football game, I don't think, in 25 years. But sadly, those are the people who we have to really educate and say, look, you got to get your head in the game. And if you don't, I'll show you this. If you don't, this is what will be coming at you. This is Hillary Clinton again. I think it's 19 seconds roughly, but listen to what she says here. And then, of course, go back to your football game. Listen to this. Watch this.
And boosting Trump back in 2016. But I also think there are Americans who are engaged in this kind of propaganda. And whether they should be civilly or even in some cases criminally charged is something that would be a better deterrence. Because then
that was Rachel Maddow from, I think, a week ago Monday. So you post something on social media they don't like, we're going to file either civil or criminal charges against you.
Oh, yeah, that's what they're doing up that's the same plan in Canada. Ladies and gentlemen, what happens in the next 60 days between now and the end of the year, okay, in the United States, is going to determine where the world's going to be come January 1. Not just the U.S., where the world's going to be January 1. Because if we stop this shit and we take our country back, that's going to be a message to the rest of these tyrants around the world. We're coming for you. It isn't just our country.
Amen.
Because what the dominoes will fall. You just got to knock down the first domino. And in this case, it said Kamala Harris. Who the hell would put her in charge of our country? I
wouldn't put her in charge of
a Dairy
anything.
Queen.
Exactly.
Yeah. Serious. That Kevin O'Leary, the billionaire. He said the same thing on television. I was watching an interview with him. He's like, I wouldn't let her run a Dairy Queen.
Yeah, the Shark Tank guy or something, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, as we get near to the end of the show, I just want to ask you about this. The Epoch Times is reporting, of course, and we've all known this, that the President Trump is being or has been briefed on specific Iran threats to assassinate him. This, according to the campaign, the former president's campaign issued a statement amid heightened concerns for the Republican nominee's safety. Briefly, okay. This is a guy who already survived two assassination attempts, received a briefing on real and specific threats from Iran to assassinate him, the Office of DNI. Now, folks, listen to me with respect to the Office of DNI. Hang on. Let me pull my notes up here, because this is something that you really have to understand. The Office of DNI, let me see if I can pull this up again. That's why I should write everything down as opposed to keeping things on a computer. The Office of DNI, Lisa Monaco, Avril Haines were pictured. Oh, man, I can't find it. There's a picture of them. I think either Haines or Monaco is right now the ODNI, the director of the in the Office of the DNI. And I wouldn't trust a thing that came out of either Susan Rice as well. I wouldn't trust a word that came out of their mouths. But what do you think about, is there a real threat from Iran, or is this an attempt to, is this an attempt?
This is also could be a false flag.
Yeah.
To pull us into war with Iran. We want to go to war with Russia. We never finished. The United States, you know, as the front people or the globalists, they never finished out Syria and Iran. Okay, so you got Russia, Syria, and Iran. They want to drag Iran into a conflict, too. We can whip the shit out of Iran, but it's Russia that this is going to get bloody. And then I heard little peeps and squirts about Israel getting involved in Ukraine. If that happens, you know World War III is upon us.
Yes.
Be advised. And if Donald Trump doesn't get in office and stop all this crap, because I'll tell you, man, the minute he takes office or they know he's taking office, things are going to quiet down a lot around the world, because he's a different guy. He's not a Kamala Harris. He's not a Barack Obama, who is a little coward and a punk. Okay? I'm just telling you. And ladies and gentlemen, while I have a few minutes left, I know there's a few minutes here, we need your support desperately We're in the middle of serious investigations. We've got, there's payroll needs to be met. Okay. There's office expenses. We just, Doug just took a hit on equipment. Okay. We were having some equipment issues a couple weeks ago. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, if you like us, if you love us, if you want us to be here, cut yourself short on one cup of coffee and please send us some money, funds. Okay. Buy some coffee. You know, the people that have actually bought coffee because I recommended it.
Yeah.
Have been sending me emails going, you know what? We should have bought it a lot sooner. We're getting tons of compliments on the quality of the coffee. Okay. And that goes to help kids. But there's, look at our sponsors. And the things that Doug was talking about today, satellite phone. Come on. That is a smart thing to have. That's a very smart thing to have. And a bulletproof backpack? I'll take one of those all day long. I want you to stop and think about that, and especially for your kids, and especially if things go wrong before now and the end of the year, and bullets do start flying in the United States, it might be nice to have something like that. You got to start thinking differently, ladies and gentlemen. Playtime is over. If Donald Trump doesn't take the White House, I'm telling you, and they know that. The bad guys know this. And they're going to come and do preemptive strikes on Americans in various forms. You let your mind. We just showed you the craziness that's going on right now, the way they think that we belong in internment camps being re-educated because we have an opinion. Ladies and gentlemen, amen. I'm telling you, get out and vote. Get out and vote. Because I'll tell you right now, if there's 200 million votes and people at the voting stations, and don't just go down, vote, and leave. Go down there and watch. If you listen, get involved, okay? Forget about playtime and barbecues. I know summer's wrapping up. You really need to listen. I know, in time with your family, that's good. But you need to be ready to rock and roll, okay? And it's going to start with the vote. It's imperative.
You know, in the remaining time we have left, I volunteered to be a poll watcher, and I was talking with the individual there responsible for making the assignments. I said I'll be a poll challenger as well. You know, if he said, well, you know, it's really a long day. And I said, I don't care. I, you know, put me in a position where I can do the most good to make sure there's integrity in this election. And he looked at me and he said, well, you know, there still are the machines. And I thought to myself, well, you know, I can unplug a, if I see something, I certainly can unplug a modem. Okay, I mean, I'll do whatever it takes, but we need to get back to, by the way, we do need to get back to paper ballots. And one last thing I'll say too, Steve Stern, who was just on with, I think, John Fredericks yesterday, the day before, the flag shirt guy, he's been on this program. Folks, get involved. Eric the Tech, doesn't he have, he's got a Zoom call where people can get on the Zoom call, and can you explain that better than me or no? Okay, folks, just go to Rumble today. I think we might even have a link up on the website and become a part of that movement. My apologies. I should have had it written down again. There it is right there. Live stream starting soon. This is being recorded a little bit ahead of time, but Stern American.com. Election security call with Steve Stern.
Just Stern America on Rumble.
Stern America on Rumble. Thank you, Eric the Tech. But
and
folks,
you don't have to watch it live. You can watch the rebroadcast.
And please send him a note. Look, the guy wants to hear from people if you've watched it, but this is one way to take this country back. He's a RT. The guy's 82, 83 years old, man, and and he outpaces me. I'm telling you. But this is, you know, we've decided to become involved in this as well. Because if we don't become involved, and you know this, if we don't become involved, the bottom line here is we can't expect anyone else to become involved. If we don't have any money, at least we can give a little bit of our time. And that's the way I look at it, right?
And I look at it, everybody has something to do. Everybody has something that they need to do to help with this country. Doug and I, we get here and do the show, Eric. You help us on the show. You know what I mean? So everybody's got a level of participation. What is your level? Okay. If you can't do something, then what I ask of you is please support the people that are doing something.
There you go.
Okay. And a lot of people say, well, you know, I do this. I give money to the church. You know what? You can also, all right, I know you get tax receipt with the church and everything, but when I tithe, my tithe doesn't necessarily all go to a church, just so you know.
Exactly.
I consider my tithe, because 10% of my pay going to the church, that's fine. Okay. But other monies you give, I consider my tithe. Okay. In which case, it's not bound to 10%. You know, but you know, if you're helping, you know, with the church, that's cool. You know, and then you're helping over here put kids camp in summertime. You know, the kids' volleyball at summertime, contributing to places like this podcast. Okay, I mean, there's just different ways to give. And if you can't get out there and fight, and you can't get on a podcast, and you can't speak your mind, and you can't rally Americans together at school, support those that do. And that would be us. Okay, Doug. Okay, because I'll be honest with you. Okay, I'm on disability, so I don't draw a paycheck. I don't make money. All right. I do this because I love my country. I'm terrified of losing the republic, and I'm terrified of seeing Americans destroyed, because that's what's coming. Don't think that I'm playing or joking with you. This is serious. I've never been more serious in all the years that I've seen you here. All the years that you've let us into your living room. It's never been this serious, okay? And if you like us and you like what we're doing and what we're saying, help us. We need your help, okay? And there's things, we have investigations. We can't even, other aspects of them that we can't even do because we don't have the funding to do it. And we're working on things to just help save Donald Trump's life. Yeah.
And you would think, you know, you would think
that we're working on protecting the big guy.
Yeah, and people say, "Well, who are you?" Well, really, nobody in the scheme of things. But there is a reason that we're doing what we're doing, and it goes beyond the abilities, but it has and resources, but it has more to do with trust, and that's the issue, you know. Yeah. And I want you to think of one last thing before we break. You know, when the feds raided Diddy, whatever that guy's name is, Diddy, Duty, whatever.
Puff Daddy.
Thank you. What do they confiscate? They confiscate thousands of bottles of. What were you going to say? Eric? Did you say something?
Oh. Yeah, come on, Eric.
I thought maybe he had something to say. They confiscated thousands of bottles of what they described as baby oil. Did you see that?
No, I did not.
I want you to think about something. Was it really baby oil? Was it really baby oil in those bottles?
What are you implying, sir?
Well, I'm just asking a question.
I'm not going to puke, am I?
No. I'm thinking that maybe, just maybe, it could, hey, you know, what form does GHB come in? I don't know. Just saying, maybe there was something else.
But think of all the politicians you know that have been seen hanging out with Puff Daddy already. Stop and think about that. Yeah, the Obamas. Yeah, Oprah Winfrey. Yeah.
All of those. And, you know, go back to Kobe Bryant's helicopter crash. What was that all about, too? Just asking, because wasn't he going to say something at the time? His helicopter went down?
Yep. And listen, please pray for Donald Trump.
Yes.
Okay. That the Lord puts his angels around that jet that that man gets into and that J.D. Vance get into as they go to these different locations. Ladies and gentlemen, there's people out there who want to kill him. They talked about the five teams out there. You know, they're going to turn the volume up here. I'm telling you.
God bless you, folks. SternAmerican.com. SternAmerican.com. God bless you. Thanks for watching.